difficult to.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy New Year to everyone this morning.
Happy New Year.
Sorry we're a little bit late here. I had a few complications. We'll just open with prayer. Let's all stand. Let's stand and we're going to open with prayer here. Yeah. This is a brand new year to worship the Lord, right? Awesome. It's going to be good. We're going to have a good year. Amen. So, Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, that you are here too. And, Lord, we give you worship and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. Lord, just help us to just flow with you this morning, Lord. Help us to just minister to you as we worship and praise you this morning too, Lord. Help us to minister to you, Father, as we worship you, and we'll give you all the praise and the glory. And we thank you, Father, for our brand new year that you've given us to worship and praise you with. a whole year, a brand new year. So we thank you for that, Lord. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's a time, it's a prophetic time change day. shine in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, we celebrate you, Lord, today at this new day to celebrate you in this earth. We glorify you. We lift your name on high, even in a greater way than we did the year before, Lord. Hallelujah. Lift our praise. We glorify you in this earth. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Let every praise, everything within us give praise to you, Lord. You alone are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, yes. Let our praises rise before you today as incense. Let praises rise from the inside. From the inside of me. May you delight in the inside. In the inside. From the inside of me. You high. We lift you high, Lord. Oh, we're going to purpose to live our lives lifting you high in the days to come, Lord, because you alone are King. You, Lord, are the glorious one, worthy of all honor, glory. And I thank you, Lord, that you walk each day with us. You never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. And we glorify you, hallelujah, as King. We glorify you as King. Hallelujah. Thank you. Because all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All I want is for you to be glorified. You to be lifted high. Because, Lord, when you are lifted high, you draw all men unto yourself. I thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for the great harvest this year. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for the great harvest. Oh, we glorify you in the earth, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. Treasure of my heart. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, it is well. Quake before, yes, Lord, moved by the sound of his voice, seas that are shaken and stirred, hallelujah, can be calmed and broken from my regard. Lord. We're going to trust you more and more as the days go on in this year. And we are going to proclaim from the start of this year, it is well. Hallelujah. Regardless of what you hear, what you see, the Lord is your God and it is well with you. Hallelujah.
There was a woman. There was a woman in the Bible. She was the Shulamite woman. And her son died. And so she wanted to go to the prophet. And so the prophet sent his servant and said, is everything okay? And she said, all is well. All her son had died. All is well. She wasn't going to spread the news about the death and the darkness. No, she said, all is well. And so the prophet came. And the prophet, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rose that son from the dead, and
Hallelujah.
He was alive. And so no matter what is going on in our lives today, no matter how dark it looks, no matter what the loss or the grief or the pain or the trauma, we can say, all is well. All is well. All is well with my soul because of you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, that's better. That's better. Is it well with your soul?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. What a Christmas season we've had. It was awesome. We weren't here last Sunday, but the Sunday before, we were here. And we had a blast. It was awesome. We did our hampers up. We had our lunch, and then we tootled over to the mobile home park and delivered the hampers, and I haven't heard any results, but I know those people were blessed beyond measure. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So if you've got a testimony you want to share about that, you could be thinking about it while I'm giving the announcements. So we're going to be back to Bible study Wednesday night on Zoom. If you want to be on Zoom, just let Mary know. She'll Zoom you in. And we're going to be back to prayer on Friday morning right here at the church. And if your family isn't in our little love box here, you put their names in and we'll be praying for them. And so that's pretty cool. And then Saturday morning, the men are going to be gathering, and that'll be awesome too. Thank you, Lord. We're starting the new year off with Jesus. Amen. Making him priority. There's a bulletin. You may want to pick one up. Jackie always has some awesome points in there. The fret busters. They're always really good. So I want to say a big happy new year to our people who are online. And my sister, she's in California, and she said, are you going to be back in church this Sunday? I said, yes, we'll be back. Good. So she's actually married to a man who's Catholic, and they attend the Catholic church on Saturday afternoon. And she attends our church on Sunday morning. So that's a real blessing. And then we had an awesome email from one of our online guests. And I'm just going to read what they wrote to us. They're from Alberta, and I have no idea how they found us. But they said, good afternoon to whom it may concern. We have been able to give to this fellowship for the past few months and enjoy streaming services. So we thought we should now send our contact information. Thank you so much, because I'm thinking income tax receipts are coming up and we need that information. So thank you. We love Pastor Mel and the people there. Thank you for the time. God bless. So thank you for letting us know who you are and where you are. And we will be in touch. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share, a testimony? Have you had an awesome Christmas? Has anything happened that was a special blessing that you'd like to share? Sure, come on up, Teresa. I'm beginning to see answers to prayer in my family. That was really awesome. So
am I. Many of you have been praying, and I know my home sometimes can be not the best. But anyways, God really undertook last night, and Elton and I were home, and he doesn't like to play games, but my darling grandson and my son decided that they should come up and be sociable and spend time with Grandma, and it was just a real answer to prayer, because we had some awesome family time.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's neat. That is neat.
Well, I feel like when I miss, I feel like I'm gone for a year or something, you know. So anyways, I just really want to thank everybody, because I missed that Sunday when you did that, doing the hampers. But my heart was still with you. And my daughter and her family were supposed to fly to Ontario for Christmas, and the day before, the storms were coming there, so the flights were canceled. So we got to do two Christmases. My son drove out from the coast. This is the first time in many years that we've all been together for Christmas, that he was able to spend Christmas with us. So that was a huge answer to prayer. And I was just overwhelmed at his graciousness. Everywhere I went, he would take my arm and protect me from the ice, and he just helped me everywhere. He just set up things for me, and he was just so overly gracious. And one of the things we did on Christmas morning, which is that, you know, my son-in-law made a great big brunch for us all, and then he listed all these things. What do you want to do? And so he said, "Does anybody want to go target shooting?" We all said, yeah, we love target shooting. So he went out to the driving range, and we were the only ones there. And we all shot these big guns, and we had a blast. And then afterwards, I was just walking around, and I could just hear my son laughing and laughing. He was having such a great time. And I said, "Father, I prayed that you would give my son some fun and some laughter. And here he is shooting guns and having the time of his life laughing, you know." And then we went hiking, and just the snow all over their heads on each other. And we had such a wonderful time. And I just praise the Lord and thank the Lord so much.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Andrea.
I wish Randy was here. To hear this, because when I was a child, we had a grease fire at my house, and I saw my mom fall into the fire when she was trying to. And so I've always had a fear of fires and cooking and things like that. And before Chris passed away, last thing she said to me, she's like, "Andrea, I want you to get over this fear and cook and just get comfortable with cooking." And this Christmas, I did the whole Christmas dinner. Like, this is a 12. This is not just a couple of things. This is a 12. My mom does major dinners, and I wanted to learn it all. And I did the whole Christmas dinner and desserts and everything. And it was 12-course, you know, meal kind of thing. And I did it all at my parents' house, pretty much all by myself, with my mom just making, guiding me, and because recipes are in her head, you know. But I did all by myself, and she let me do everything. And so I just wanted to praise God for that and wish Randy was here, that Chris got what she wanted.
Come on, give God glory. Come on, that's pretty big. Amen. The devil lost another one. Amen. Amen. I'm not ready to let you do the offering yet. Okay. Come on, Jan. Come on.
Okay. I've been seeking the Lord for a word for us this year, and I was so busy with grandkids at my house and everything, but last night on my drive home back from my sister's house, it wasn't late because I didn't stay, but I'll tell you, the Spirit moved, and the scriptures that he gave me was Ecclesiastes 1, I think it's 1-7, oops, and it's 3, oh, sorry, Ecclesiastes 3:1, you know, it's the time. It's about the time to be born, time to plant. And also Psalm 31, verse 15, and it says that my times are in his hands. And he was speaking to me. Now, I had chosen my song about It's Time on Friday. I had no idea he was going to talk about time. But he's saying that, he said to me that there is, throughout this year, there are going to be things from here that are going to affect you. Because a couple, well, about 3 weeks ago, a Friday morning prayer, out of my mouth came that this is the year of the spotless bride. Now, we're not perfected yet, but there are going to be things that are going to be coming up this year. You know, everybody's hopeful that it's all going to be roses, but there's going to be some real changes coming, and this is the word that he said. Your times are in my hands, and he capitalized my hands. Whatever may come, you must remember this. You are in, and again capitalized, my hands. No matter the circumstances and situations in this coming year, look for me in it. I am not saying I brought, or no, yeah, yeah, in this, look for me in it. I am not saying I brought it, but I am saying look for me in it. I am always with you. Look for me. Look for me in your fear. Look for me in your frustrations and delays. Look for me. I am with you. I will never leave. You must seek me and persevere in seeking me. You will find me even when it gets tough. And if you seek me in it, I can lead you out. And you will know me more and more when you do. You must put your roots deep in me where nothing can faze you or shake you up. It's one thing to know the word in your head, but another entirely to walk out the word, to stand on it when everything is crumbling around you. And then he said in capital letters, I am your provision. Stand on this. Take hold of it and don't let go, even when the enemy tries to rip it out of your hands. Fight the good fight. Don't let go of my promises. Your times are in my hands.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, amen. That's a word from the Lord. Come on, a little bit of appreciation here. Thank you, Lord. Just, I forgot to say, welcome, Peter. Good to have you here with us. And this Saturday, Jim's going to have a birthday. So let's sing to Jim Jordan. A happy birthday to you. A happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you. A happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, and I'll take the time to share my testimony. And it's not really, and I want to be very careful to explain to you that I want to give all glory to Jesus, because he is up to some pretty great stuff in our community. And so I want to share this with you, although, yes, involved, but God is... So I don't know how many of you heard about the warming station C-CAN downtown. That was an interesting night in setup. I got a phone call. Anyways, so the city advised us, don't do it. Liability is too great. MLA advised us, don't do it. Liability is too great. You're putting yourself at risk. You're putting your businesses at risk. You're putting your families at risk. Even going in there, you're being at risk. So we said, well, the risk is too great if somebody freezes to death. So anyways, we proceeded, and we felt like God wanted us to do that, so that's what happened. So when the media called, we said, we don't want to be recognized. Don't put our names in there. We only want to do this because of our faith. And some things that happened through that, and I want to share with you just quickly, because, you see, we rely on the government to take care of the homeless. But really and truly, that's our job. The church has dropped the ball. Just going to be real. And so what's happening is, and it's interesting because we're like, well, the government dropped the ball, so we had to do something. But in that is, so you know, if it's a government-run homeless facility, you can't share the gospel there. And so I had the opportunity, and I boast in nothing of myself, zero, because I normally wouldn't do this either. But I felt like God, so I spent Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve in the homeless C-CAN with the homeless. And there was times, last night there was only 4 or 5, but there was up to 12 in there when it was cold. But we've had the opportunity to share Jesus. And that Jordan that I asked for prayer for that night, who was, you know, being tormented, but didn't feel like, hey, we need to... So he got saved the other night and is doing much, much better. And so last night spent about 4 hours sharing the gospel with him further, bringing his truth into alignment. And so the people are coming in there and they're like, yeah, we want to get off of drugs. We want to go back to a normal life. And so amazing things that God is doing. So the church is going to break out of the four walls of the church and into the community, because we need to step over that threshold of liability. It's not the government's job. It's the church's job. And so I feel just so blessed on what God is doing. And again, I take no glory for myself. None. Because I don't have any. All glory belongs to Him. And so I struggle sometimes to share this with you, especially as a body, but I think it's important to know the heart of God in the community. One night I'm sitting in there, and two police officers come in. Knock, knock on the door, come in. They're both smiling. This is Christmas Eve. They come in with a box of homemade cookies for the people in there. Said, have a great night. See you. The city, all the city officials turned a blind eye to it. So God is up to great things. So now I'm like, what do we do next, Lord? So it looks like BC Housing might have a facility, all that. But I think that God allowed that to happen for a reason, to see how the church would respond. And the people and the money and the food has flowed into that place. Last night was amazing. I mean, even another believer came and he brought sandwiches and he was only going to come for an hour. He ended up staying for 5 hours and we sat down and we chewed the word with this young man and a few other people that were in there, and it went around. Another guy, he said, my wife doesn't even know I'm here. She's out of town. I had nowhere else to go. He made turkey soup. He's over at the homeless camp feeding them over there. Then he comes into the C-CAN. He spends 2 hours. We're chewing on the Word of God and just feeding. And it was amazing. I'm like, anyways, praise God. Glory belongs to Jesus in our community. It is just.
Can I just share a little P.S. to that? Well, my daughter, she now works at the Shuswap Family Center, and they're making meals for the homeless 3 times a week. And so she's gone down to, you know, where the tents are and gotten to know a lot of these people, and especially one elderly woman. She went to visit her, and she was just shaking. She was freezing so much, and she says, "Don't you have any mitts or gloves?" And she says, "No." And she says, "Well, you wait here." So she drives home. She gets her husband's warmest gloves, the best thing he has, and then the other thing was that there was no fire going there. This is before the sea cans, right? And they had no fire. And she says, "How come you don't have a fire?" She says, "Well, we ran out of wood. Somebody was supposed to bring us wood, but they haven't come." So off she goes home. My son-in-law has, you know, they got a fire pit outside for, you know, having marshmallow or whatever. So she goes and she takes all the wood there. She takes the kindling. She takes his gloves. She goes flying back to the woman and gives these to the woman. Meanwhile, okay, so they get a fire going. My son-in-law, her husband, is one of the firefighters, right? Well, he gets a call that there's a fire. Go to the fire. So he's the first responder, the fire, and it's this fire because they call it an illegal fire, right? And he looks at this woman and he says, "Where did you get those gloves?" And she says, "Oh, this beautiful woman, she keeps bringing me stuff and everything." He says, "Has she got long gloves?" Yep, that's her. "Oh, that's my wife," he says. And he says, "You go ahead and keep the wood and you keep the gloves, and we're not going to charge you for this fire. You just keep the fires going."
Oh. Yeah, it says in Acts chapter 20, and this is kind of what the Lord had given me before the holidays, before Christmas. It says in verse 35, and it says, and this is for the offering, right? Because it's time to give. And he says, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." And now I really understand why. Because I've never really given of my time. I've always just supported financially to what was going on, but never went down there. But this year I felt like God was saying, "You need to go down there and relieve some of the people that have been working night after night after night." And so, anyways, very, very cool to just be obedient to what God wants to do. So he says, "In everything," and this is Paul speaking, he says, "In everything I have pointed out to you by example that by working diligently in this manner, we ought to assist the weak, being mindful of the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed, makes one happy and more to be envied, to give than to receive.'" And so, it's amazing when we take our time and what we have to give to those who need to be picked up. I'm like, God, it's amazing. So anyways, that's the offering today and the testimony of what God is doing in our community, in and through us. And so we just want to make sure we give him the praise and the glory. So Father, we thank you today that God, you have given us the provision to do. And Lord, I thank you that your heart is for people, from the lowest to the highest. And you said that those that are least would be. So Lord, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in our community and in this house. And Lord, in this area. And so Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that this year will be the church without walls. And so Lord, thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your favor, God, this year. And so, Lord, it's your word says that if we give, it shall be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So, Lord, that we have more to give into your purposes, into your kingdom. And so, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you excited about what God's doing? Amen. Yeah, so are you. You should have got up and said that. Everybody look, anyway. Nathan's dad's a big part of what's going on. Quite amazing, actually. Are you doing that?
Well, no one else mentioned it, but I'm going to mention it. It's going to be a different pulpit. Anyways, we can do all things through Christ. Anyways, I'm just going to say, anybody online that's listening, we are going to do communion this morning, so go get your communion ready and join us. And so this morning, I thought, Lord, what is it that you want me to share? But yeah, Jen, you can hand that out. So as they're handing that out, I'm going to read this. So the Lord said to me that so many times we look at communion as, you know, by his stripes that we are healed. And a lot of people think that physically, which is true. It is physically. But God said that through his blood, he made us whole, body, soul, and spirit. And so he said to me, Mary, he said, the cross is actually the beginning. That no matter what we go through, he says, you got to go back to the cross. And I'm going to read the psalm, because in the psalm, it says a prophetic portrait of the cross. But not only does it share the cross, but I could see myself in it. And so the Lord says, like, Mary, when I went to the cross, you were with me. When I died, you were with me, but it doesn't stop there. When I was raised, you were raised with me. So there's resurrection life, like we sang this morning, the King is on the inside of us. That means that there's resurrection life. So no matter how dead we feel, there's a King that's living on the inside of us that will not leave us the same. Amen. He will not, because he's a King. So anyways, I'm going to read the psalm. It says, God, my God, why have you... It's Psalm 22, and I'm reading it out of the message. My God, my God, why have you abandoned me now? How many sometimes feel that, right? Sometimes you feel like, oh, God, where are you? Where are you in this? Thank you. Why do you remain distant, refusing to answer my tearful cries in the day and my desperate, cries for your help in the night? I can't stop sobbing. Where are you, my God? Yet I know that you are most holy. You are God enthroned, the praise of Israel. Our father's faith was in you. Through the generations, they trusted in you. And you came through. Every time they cried out to you in their despair, you were faithful to deliver them. You didn't disappoint them. But I am a worm, crushed and bleeding crimson, treated as less than human. I've been despised and scorned by everyone, mocked by the jeers, despised with their sneers, as all the people poke fun at me, spitting their insults, saying, is this the one who trusted in God? Sometimes people say that to us. Why would you trust God? And they said that to Jesus too. Now let's see if Yahweh will come and rescue you. Let's see how much he delights in him. Lord, you delivered me safely from my mother's womb, and you are the one who cared for me ever since I was a baby. Since the day I was born, I've been placed in your custody. Hallelujah. You cradled me throughout my days, and you've always been my God. So don't leave me now, for trouble is all around me, and there's no one to help me. I'm surrounded by many violent foes like bulls. Forces of evil encircle me like the strong bulls of Bashan, like ravenous roaring lions tearing their prey. They pour out curses from their mouth. Now I am completely exhausted. Every joint of my body has been pulled apart. My courage has melted away. I'm so thirsty and parched. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And now you lay me in the dust of death. They have pierced my hands and my feet like a pack of wild dogs. They tear at me, swirling around me with their hatred. A band of evil men surround me. I can count all my bones. Look at how they gloat over me and stare. With a toss of the dice, they divide my clothes among themselves, gambling for my garments. Yahweh, please don't stay far away. My strength, come quickly to my rescue. Give me back my life. Save me from this violent death. Save my precious one and only from the power of these dogs. Save me from all the power of the enemy, from this roaring lion raging against me and the power of his dark horde. But that was his death. That's what he suffered for us. But this is the resurrection. I will declare your name before all my brothers and praise you in the midst of the congregation. Those who fear Yahweh, praise him. Let all the seed of Jacob glorify him with your praises. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. That's you. For he has not despised the cries of my deep despair. He's my first responder to my sufferings. That awesome. You think about first responders. He's my first responders. And the Lord says, that's where you connect with me to the cross. Because I'm your first responder. I'm your first. So when you're going through trials or discouragement or any tribulations, whatever it is, get back to the cross. That's where we begin. Because he took it all for us. And when I was in pain, he was there all the time and heard the cries of the afflicted. You're the reason for my praise. It comes from you and goes to you. I will keep my promise to praise you before all who fear you, among the congregation of your people. Let all the poor and broken eat until satisfied. Bring Yahweh praise and you will find him. May your hearts overflow with life forever. From the four corners of the earth, the people of the world will remember and return to Yahweh. Every nation will come and worship him. For Yahweh is king of all, who takes charge of all the nations. The wealthy of this world will feast in fellowship with him, right alongside the humble of heart, bowing down to the dust, forsaking their own souls. They will all come and worship the worthy king. His spiritual seed shall serve him. Future generations will hear from us about the wonders of the victorious Lord. His generation, yet to be born, will glorify him, and they will all declare, "It is finished." Like he did, we declare, "It is finished." No matter what we're going through, it is already finished. So really, we do battle from a place of victory. We do not battle from a place of defeat. We battle from a place of victory. So, okay, now I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians 11. I have handed down to you what came to me by direct revelation from the Lord himself. The same night in which he was handed over, he took the bread and he gave thanks. Then he distributed it among the disciples and said, "Take it, eat your fill. It is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So,
of the price that you paid, that you paid a full price for our healing. And so we're not going to let that slide. You are our first response. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
He did the same with the cup of the wine after supper and said, "This cup seals the new covenant
with my blood. Drink it, and whenever you do this, or whenever you drink this, you do it in remembrance of me. For when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling this story, proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes.
Jesus, we just want to say, how can we ever thank you enough for what you have done for us, for the blood that you have shed for us? And even as we have just come through Christmas, when we realize that the blood comes from the father's seed, not the mother. The blood doesn't come from the mother into the child. The blood comes from the father's seed. That means that when Jesus was born, he carried the father's blood. And so we thank you, God, Father, that you poured your blood into Jesus so that he could come to us as a person, identify with us, and go to that cross and shed his blood and your blood, God, and Jesus' blood shed for us so that we could be set free, so that we could have that lifeblood in us now as we drink of you, that we have life abundant, that we have total, we can have total ongoing salvation. We claim that. We thank you for that. We believe that for all of the loved ones that we are praying for. We know, we thank you that you hear and you answer our prayers. They're in the bowls. They're coming down. They're coming into fruition, all because of the blood of Jesus. Wow. We so thank you. We so love you. We receive your precious gift, God and Jesus. Let's drink together.
How's that? Oh, yeah, that's better, right? Okay. Okay. Let's see what we're doing here. Where are we going? You know, it's amazing. I don't know. Some of you probably that preach and got to prepare a scripture, got to prepare a message, right? It's amazing how sometimes you start out with something, but you end up with something altogether different. It's amazing. And it's by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit directs and guides to what he wants to say, right? I find out a lot of times I'm going, Whoa, I didn't start out like that, Lord. That's not where I wanted to go. But then, as you just follow through, you know, He directs you, right? So that I experienced that quite a bit. But just before I do, the other night I had a vision. You know that the Bible talks about dreams and visions, right? Sometimes I have these flashes. I don't know what you call them. You're kind of in your sleep. You're in a deep sleep. And all of a sudden, there's this picture in front of you, right? Oh, wow. That's quite something. You know, you haven't even been meditating on it or thinking about it even. But you a vision sometimes is an open vision where you're awake. But sometimes it's when you're asleep or half asleep. I don't know where. But all of a sudden, here was this vision. And this vision was, I was standing in the foyer, right? And this place was full, right? The sanctuary was full of people. And I was trying to come in the door here. And both of the doors were open, mind you, okay? But there were so many people in the foyer, I could hardly get through. That is the vision I had. Now, I don't know when that's going to be. But I think, you know what visions are for? And I was meditating on it. What are visions for? I think visions are to prepare us or someone for the things to come. So I believe the Holy Spirit is preparing us for things that are going to happen in this house. Amen? I believe that. All good. Okay, but this is not what my sermon's about. I want to, this morning, want to preach on reconciling man to God or God to man. Which do you think it was? Well, God sent Jesus, right? In the form of a baby, right? He sent it down to earth. Born of a Virgin Mary, right? And so, God sent Jesus to the earth to reconcile man to God. So, I don't know how you would word it. I've got reconciling man to God or God to man. Which is it? Or is it both? It's first, well, of course we know that if it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't be able to come to Him anyway, right? Because He drew us by His Spirit, right? And so we were able to say, yes, Lord, I receive, I understand. You want me. Then the Bible says that before the foundations of the world were laid, you chose us. Try to wrap your brain around that one. Before anything was created, you chose me? You had me in mind? Yep. I don't know if you would call this a vision or not, but I see Jesus, his hands outstretched on a cross. Well, they weren't outstretched, they were nailed to the cross, right? But in his hands was the names of everyone in the church written, right? We're engraved in the palm of his hands, the Bible says. So all our names were written there. Your name was written there too. You know, you couldn't see them with the visual eye, but they were all there. His hands represented you. That's what he came and died for, you. He came and died for the church to give his life for the church so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? Yeah. So where was I going with all that? Okay, so the title of my sermon is it's about reconciliation, right? Reconciliation, yeah. Before I start this, I would just want to make a little comment here. How many of you like shopping? Especially for clothes. You ladies, you like shopping for clothes, right? Some men do too. Oh, I got one there, see? And, yeah. Well, sometimes we like, you know, if we need something, we need a pair of pants or shoes or whatever. We don't mind, right? But as a rule, though, men don't really, you know, go to stores and look at all the things that they have and go to every little, what do you call it? Oh, where all the hangers and all that are, and check out each one. Oh, we don't do that. I don't do that. I don't know too many men that do, right? We need something, we go to the store, go get it, get out. But that's not the way women, you know. Lord has made females, and they're a little bit a different little species or creatures or whatever you call them. They think a little different than we do, right? Yeah. Hey, love. I'm talking because I know my wife. She loved to shop. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. She loved to shop. But the good thing about her taking me, as quick as we get into the store, I would look around. I've been searching around. I'm not looking for clothes or anything. I'm looking for a chair to sit where I can sit because I know she's going to be a while. Right? Yeah. But we men are not like that, right? So he's made us different, right? And that's the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. Reconciliation. God to man, or man to God. As you look up the word reconciliation in the dictionary, it says to restore to friendship or harmony. That's what Jesus came, and he came. He came to restore us, right? To friendship or harmony, because later on, Jesus said in the Gospels, he says, I will no longer call you servants. I call you friends. So we are now the friends of God. Right? We're not strangers. We're friends of God. Thank you, Lord. I love to be your friend, Lord. You know, friends are so easy to talk to, aren't they? You know, you have your different friends. You talk about anything that you want to talk about, you know. And you're not afraid. If you have a close friend, you're not afraid to say certain things. But a close friend, you might say something that you wouldn't say to anybody else. But still, we have friends too. And Jesus calls us friends, right? He calls us friends. Okay, definition of reconciliation, to restore to friendship or harmony. Number two, to cause to submit or to accept. How about that one, right? Cause to submit or to accept. Number three is to bring to a state free of conflicts, inconsistencies, or differences, right? To bring us to a state free of conflict. When Jesus died on the cross, there was no conflict. He had one purpose. That purpose was to die in our place, right? That was to die for us. To give us life. So that we might have life and more abundantly. So someday we would be with him as in a big family. Family of God. That's who we are. We are now in God's family. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And that's kind of what drove me kind of directed me for this message is that a new creation. We are now celebrating the new year, right? New year. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yeah. Hallelujah. All things have become new. All the old stuff. Now, the definition of creation is a raising or a state of being raised to a higher rank or position. That's what the definition of a creation. Say that again. A raising or a state of being raised to a higher rank or position. And when we accepted Christ, we are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? We are seated there with Him. Hallelujah. Not that we're going to be or we're going to be good enough. We are already are accepted in the Beloved, right? He's already set us free. So, Father, thank you that we can walk in that freedom. Okay. Okay, how am I going to do this? Okay, let's see. Colossians 3:10. I don't know if you want to go there, but Colossians 3:10. Let's see what that says. Okay, Teresa, you get ready because we're walking into the clothing store now. Okay? We're walking into your clothing store over there. And we're going to do some shopping. That's what we come there for, right? And Teresa's just waiting there at the till. She's waiting head and foot. Oh, boy. Is this guy just going to maybe be a looky-loo, or is he really going to buy something? Right? Okay, so we're going to the clothing store. Okay. Oh, what was that? Ah, you're trying to shut me down there? Up there? You don't like the message? Okay. Look at Colossians 3:10. Are you there yet? Colossians 3:10 says, we're starting to get dressed here now, okay? We're in the clothing store, and Teresa's there, and he's going to help us to get whatever we want, right? Okay. Colossians 3:10 says, and put on the new man. Maybe we should go back to verse 7, because before you want to put on something, you got to take it off, right? Okay. So verse 8 says, you yourselves put off. These are the things you're going to put off. Okay, you're in the clothing store, and you're getting undressed, Teresa, because you're going to buy a new wardrobe, right? So he says in verse 8, put off all these. Anger. Wrath. Malice. Blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Number 9, do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Okay? Well, there's some things you have to take all that stuff off, right? Because you're getting a new wardrobe, right? Hallelujah. Colossians 3:5 says, put to death. It first says put off, and now it says put to death your members which are on the earth. On the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, verse 6, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Aha! In which you yourselves once walked, it says, when you lived in them. But now, it says in verse 8, which we just read, it says to put it off. Take off that stuff. You're going to get a new wardrobe. Take all this old stuff off. Right? Then if you go to verse 8, of course, talking about putting taking stuff off, it says, tells us what to get rid of. You take it off. This is what you get rid of. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Aha. Some of this stuff takes a little while, doesn't it? You remember when you first accepted Christ, all things became new? But then you found out that not everything, even your language, was not quite right yet, right? Maybe you had a curse word or two, or whatever. You found out. But you know what? I get choked up when I think of how awesome the Holy Spirit is. Because you're there walking and talking, living life, and then he tells you how to walk. He tells you how to talk, right? He shows you, he tells you. He ministers to us. Okay, so actually, now that we're standing there, I'm sorry, Teresa, we're standing in your store there, and we've taken off all the old stuff, and we're standing there practically naked. Because we had to get rid of all this stuff, that old wardrobe. Had to get rid of that, right? But fear not. Teresa is going to dress you right. Okay? Now, in verse 10, what does it say? He says, put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or nor free, but Christ is all in all. Yeah. Now here's the stuff that we have to put on. Verse 10 says, put on the new man. Okay, we read that. Verse 12 says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. There's another piece of garment. Tender mercies. Kindness. Humility. Meekness. Long-suffering. You got any of those, Teresa, in your store? I want them. I want to put them on. I want to put them on. Right? Yeah. Verse 13 says, and here's what it looks like. Here's what these garments actually look like, or sound like, or feel like, you could say. Bearing, verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Yeah. forgiving one another, bearing with one another. And you know, verse 14 talks about the greatest part of the garment. Where would we be without it? Verse 14 says, put on love. After all that, make sure you put this on love. You know, it kind of will, not that it does away with all the other stuff, but what does the Bible say? Love covers everything, all the sins. Love covers, right? I'm just about done. Put that here. The greatest item is life, is love. And we could even go 1 Corinthians 13 for that. It's interesting, as I was looking at 1 Corinthians 13, I noticed one thing. It starts out with love. It starts out by what we don't have, what we need. And then in verse 13, it talks about that's the greatest one. Right? Greatest piece of garment, if you want to call it that, is love. Okay. Just about down here. Just a minute here. Let's go to Romans chapter 7, 6. Romans chapter 7. We'll read verse 6. You getting anything out of this? I thought it was good. I don't know about you, but I thought it was good. Romans 7, 6. Okay. But now we're completely clothed, right? We're about to leave the store, Teresa, because you've completely given us a new wardrobe, right? New wardrobe. We're walking out of there proud as punch. Verse 6 says, but now we have been delivered from the law. Having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. So here we have this brand new wardrobe. They're all dressed up, brand new wardrobe. And then, what's the last thing you do? You go, no, come on, you can't walk out of the store yet. You have to pay. That's right. Teresa's got it right. She's got it right. She's got her eye on me now. You better not walk out of here like that. you're at the till there, and you're pulling out your wallet, right? Or your credit card or whatever, you're pulling it out. And Teresa looks at me. She says, Pastor Mel, it's all paid for.
It's all paid for. Somebody else paid your bill. It's all paid for. You don't owe anything. You go, what? Oh, this is great. Oh, my, oh, my. All paid for. So you go out of the store and you're parading down the sidewalk, right? With your brand new wardrobe. You feel like a new man. And you are one. Because you took off all that old stuff. Right? Now, you put off all the old rags, I should say. But now you are dressed completely with a robe of righteousness. That we have on the robe of righteousness. Well, that's the end of my sermon. Yeah. Let's stand and Teresa, can we, we got to always go out with a praise song. Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah. Oh. We're going to sing How Great Are You, Lord? Hallelujah.